return His love. Why is it that the Christian today does little to show and return God's love? One glaring example comes to mind. Why are we Christians not obedient to the great commandment of God and the Great Commission? Why are we so unwilling to serve God in His church? Why is it that we are so unwilling to come together to pray as a church family for the many serious needs of our city and our state, our nation, the world, and even our own church family? I'm reminded of a story about Dr. R.G. Lee, former pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Lee was making a report to the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention many years ago about the state of our churches. And Dr. Lee said to the convention messengers, "Brethren, it is my opinion that only 10% of our membership is truly saved." Now you can imagine that created quite a stir out among the messengers. A loud murmuring began to be heard all across the convention floor. And then Dr. Lee said to those messengers, "Maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe that number should only be 5%. I wonder what percentage Dr. Lee would give today. And it's not just Southern Baptist. Other denominations have the same problem as we do. Other denominations are declining in growth, declining in membership, are seeing fewer and fewer professions of faith, fewer and fewer people being baptized. No one is immune. We sit back and we become content with our numbers, and we have chosen to fight more among ourselves and more with each other than we have with the devil. And we wonder why our city and our state, our nation, are in the mess that we're in today. We've chosen to politic instead of praying. We've chosen to elect rather than to evangelize. And we are reaping the fruit of our futility. Friend, you and I cannot change the actions and the values of a person until you change his or her heart. Jesus came to change the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And that's why if we want to see our city change, if we want to see our community change, if we want to see our state change, our nation and the world, it will only happen as we become the faithful witnesses that Christ Jesus has called us to be. The Lord says in His Word, if we love Him, we will obey Him. So then, where is the love evidenced to Jesus Christ in our obedience? Today we begin an emphasis on becoming, as a church family, more evangelistic Christians and a more evangelistic church. The truth is, there is a desperate need for the church to get back to what it was meant to be in the first place. We must get back to the biblical purpose of having a Great Commission vision. The Christian church in America has drifted from what we're to truly be doing: evangelizing, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with a lost and dying world. Our Sunday school classes, for instance, our small groups have stopped assimilating people into the body. Let me say that again. We are no longer bringing people into the church, into the kingdom of God, through the Sunday school and through our small groups. While we teach the Bible and we do an effective job of teaching the Bible and even discipling our members, we've stopped evangelizing. We've stopped witnessing to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates. Think about your own Sunday school class. Teachers, let me just address you directly. Would you say that your Sunday school class is a Great Commission class? Are you and the members of your class bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are we a Great Commission church? Let me be even more specific. Would you say that you personally are a Great Commission Christian? By almost any metric, the churches in our nation today are much less evangelistic than they were in the recent past. In our own Southern Baptist Convention, we are reaching non-Christians only half as effectively as we were 50 years ago. We certainly see the pattern in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Luke records there, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." However, in too many churches today, the congregations are reaching no one for Christ in the course of an entire year. Tom Rainer, president of Lifeway, conducted an unscientific poll recently to see what church leaders and church members thought of this negative trend. The response was highly informative. Here are the top 15 responses listed in order of frequency. Number one, Christians have no sense of urgency to reach lost people. Two, many Christians and church members do not befriend and spend time with lost persons. Three, many Christians and church members are lazy and apathetic. Four, we are more known for what we are against than what we are for. Five, our churches have an ineffective evangelistic strategy of you come rather than we go. Number six, many church members think that evangelism is the role of the pastor and the paid staff. Number seven, church membership today is more about getting my needs met rather than reaching the lost. Number eight, church members are in retreat mode as culture becomes more worldly and crucial. Number nine, many church members don't really believe that Christ is the only way of salvation. Think about that. Many church members don't really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Number 10, our churches are no longer houses of prayer equipped to reach the lost. There used to be a day when churches would gather together for Wednesday night prayer gatherings or in their small groups. My mom used to meet, they used to have their circle, their ladies' home circle, that was what it used to be called, and they would pray specifically for the youth of our church back home in Fayetteville when I was growing up. We don't do that as much anymore. Number 11, churches have lost their focus on making disciples who in turn will be equipped and motivated to reach the lost. Number 12, Christians do not want to share the truth of the gospel for fear they will offend others. Political correctness is too commonplace even among Christians. 13, most churches have unregenerate members who have not received Christ themselves. 14, some churches have theological systems that don't even encourage evangelism. And number 15, our churches have too many activities. We are too busy to do the things that really matter. Friend, I'm very concerned as a believer and as a pastor that we are nowhere near where we should be, either individually nor corporately. And the truth of the matter is, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And we are being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. From our apathy and our unconcern, we show that we do not truly love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our souls. We have turned from our first love. And the truth is, we need to turn back to God before He removes His presence from us. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. The prophet Isaiah spoke to God's people back in the 7th and 8th century. And here's what he said. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Individually, as a church, and as a nation, it is high time that we recognize and wake up to the fact that we have indeed strayed from the Lord, and that we need to be seeking His face and stop deceiving ourselves into thinking that everything is all right just because we are prosperous and healthy. We have fallen prey to the lies of Satan. Friend, we are just kidding ourselves. We cannot be disobedient to the Lord in regard to His great commission. The very last thing that Jesus, the very last instructions that Jesus gave to His disciples, we cannot be blind to the fact that Jesus gave these instructions, and yet we feel that everything is okay just because we are healthy and prosperous and our families are doing well, and think that we can be disobedient in regard to His great commission and think that everything will go on as it is. Isaiah says, look there in verse 6 again. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Now that this passage tells us that if we as individuals and as a church get too far away from God, then we won't find God, for the simple reason that He will no longer be near to us. But here's the truth. God is not the one who is moved. God's not the one that's moved. God has remained where He's always been. It's us that have moved. All we have to do is look around. It is no wonder our country is in trouble today. God's people, listen, but friend, it is high time that we as the church quit blaming the politicians and the government officials for the condition of our country today. Because if we're not doing what Christ has instructed us to do, knowing that people are not going to change, governments are not going to change, politicians are not going to change, families are not going to change, individuals are not going to change until there is a change in their heart. And only God can bring about that change. We look more like the people of the world than someone who is different. And God's word calls us in 2 Peter chapter 2 to remember that we are aliens and strangers in this world. We talk God's word. We do a good job at talking God's word. We use all the right language. But I'm afraid that we have quit being doers of the word. We are not obedient to the Great Commission. People in the church are busier than ever before. We make more plans. We have more events, more activities, more programs. We really look busy. But we have forgotten the Lord. And friend, it is past time that we turn back to Him. Isaiah says, look there in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, look at this, that he, the Lord, may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I said all that to bring you to the takeaway. And here's what I want you to take away from this message. If we're going to make a difference in our world, if we're going to make a difference in our families, if we're going to make a difference in our community, if we're going to make a difference in our city, our state, our nation, and the world, friend, we must return to the Lord and faithfully carry out His Great Commission. Our world still yearns for the good news of saving faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for mankind's sins on the cross of Calvary. You know, this past Thursday night when Nancy and I were at the hospital and we were there not knowing that it would be the last time that we would see Nancy's mom and alive. And people have asked us, you know, about how it was. And, you know, it was totally unexpected. We were sitting at home 9:20, 9:25 Thursday night. We got the call from Brighton Place where Nancy's mom had recently moved to back in December. They said she was looking a little sick, pale, and they wanted to take her to the hospital for some test. And they had called the EMT guys and wanted to know if Nancy wanted to meet them there. And so she did. And we did. We went. We met them. We followed them down to the hospital. And they told us when we got there that it didn't look good, that her mom was very sick. But we had no idea that it was going to be as soon as it was. But as I was thinking about her and that night, the one thing about it all was it was so peaceful. Nanny, as I called her, didn't suffer. She wasn't in any agony. And when we saw her take that last breath, as many of you have seen your own loved ones, I My mom and dad have both gone on to glory, but I didn't see them take their last breath. I saw my mother-in-law take her last breath. But there was a peace. Because for us as believers, we know where our loved ones are. And God reminded me from this experience, as painful as it was for us as a family, that there are families, loved ones, who are going through the very same situation day after day after day. But the sad reality is that there are many of those who have no clue what awaits them on the other side. And you and I have the answer. We've been blessed with the answer. But friend, listen, as with every blessing, God holds us accountable for sharing that blessing with others. The less we tell and speak to people about the Lord, the less likely that they are going to know what awaits them in eternity. Consider these startling statistics on the age when people become Christians. Look up there on the screen. 19 of every 20 people become Christians before age 24. Look at that. 19 of every 20 people who become Christians do so before the age of 24. After the age of 25, only 1 in 10,000 people become Christian. After 35, only 1 in 40,000 people. After 55, excuse me just a minute, only 1 in 300,000 people. After 65, only 1 in 500,000 people. And after 74, only 1 in 700,000 people. Is it any wonder that we need to reach them as early as possible? That's why the children and youth ministry of our church are so important, because that's the age when we're going to reach them most effectively. Friend, as these statistics show, there is a tremendous urgency when it comes to carrying out the Great Commission. And I want to just encourage those of you who work in our children's ministry, those of you who work in our youth ministry, to please, please make it your effort every Sunday. I used to have Nancy and I were in a Sunday school class when we were in Dallas. We were in a singles Sunday school class right before we got married. And our Sunday, I was telling the staff this the other day, we had a Sunday school teacher who would close every class. It matter if there were five people in the class or if there were a room full of people, 25 people in the class, he would close every lesson with the plan of salvation. He would then lead us in prayer, and at the end of the class, he would say, "Now, if anybody here prayed that prayer this morning, if you want to remain after class and share that with me, and then in the worship service this morning, if you feel led to go and make that decision public, I will walk down the aisle with you." Every Sunday, he did that. I would encourage those of you who work in our children's ministry and our youth ministry to share the plan of salvation every Sunday. You never know what child, what young person is going to be there on that particular Sunday who's never heard, and we just take for granted that they've heard it. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, once spoke with a woman who didn't like his method of evangelism. So Moody responded, I don't really like my method either. What's the method you use? I may change. The woman answered, I don't have a method. The famed evangelist looked at her and said, then I'll stick with mine. Friend, we need to understand that it's imperative that we evangelize the lost of our city by seeking the lost. What we have been doing is totally unscriptural. We come to church, we have our fellowships, we have our small groups, we have our worship services such as this. We attend these events and we say to those outside our walls, come on in. But nowhere in the New Testament is that the pattern of the early Christians. They went to where the lost were and told them about Jesus. Then they invited them into their fellowships, into their gatherings, and you and I must do the same. People need to know that God has an important message for them, and we must make sure they hear it. George Sweeting, in his book, The No Guilt Guide for Witnessing, tells of a man named John Currier, who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to a work farm outside of Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated. A letter was sent to him with the good news, but John Currier never saw that letter, nor was he even told about it. Life on that work farm was hard, and there was no promise of any future for John Currier. Yet he kept doing what he was told day after day after day. 10 years went by. A state parole officer learned about Currier's situation. He tracked him down and delivered the message that was supposed to go to him 10 years earlier. The message saying that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. George Sweeting concludes the story by asking, would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important message in your life, and year after year, the urgent message was never delivered? Friend, we who have heard the good news and experienced the freedom through Jesus Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others still enslaved by sin. Are we doing all we can to make sure that they get the message declaring their freedom in Jesus Christ? I want to watch this short video, and then I'll have a closing word and call Forrest to say something.
Hi there, I'm Jesse, the founder of TrueLife.org, and we're here at Thomas Road Baptist Church to help show you how easy it is to evangelize and invite people with these TrueLife.org invitation cards.
Hey, what's up, Jesse?
Good to see you guys. Happy to be here. Thank you for coming. So we're encouraging evangelism and invitation in churches, not just Thomas Road Baptist Church, but your church as well. I'm sure your pastor probably gave you a TrueLife.org card today to hand out. And these cards are so unique because it takes the fear away from evangelism and invitation. That means that we don't have to be afraid of the questions that might be asked, or the time it's going to take, or not having a starting point. What if the recipient is afraid of going to church? Well, they can easily go online and get free video answers to questions like, how do we get the Bible? Why do bad things happen? Where do you go when you die? Does God love gay people? Is Mormonism true? Are Jehovah's Witnesses right? And the list goes on and on for any worldview. And then, of course, they can easily find your church on the Church Finder. Hey, Will, so we're pulling up to a gas station right now, and all I need you to do is just go out and simply say, hey, I'd love to have you come to my church on Sunday. If you have any questions, you can go online and get video answers, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. God bless you. I'm praying for you, okay?
Let's see what happens.
Hi, excuse me. How are you ladies doing?
Hey, I don't know if you go to a church anywhere in the area, but I'd like to invite you to Thomas Road Church, see here. And if you don't have any time to make it to church right yet, you can see on the back, truelife.org, where you get free video answers to life's hard questions. And there's all kinds of different videos on there to answer questions people have, like, is there a God, and why do we suffer, and things like that. So take a look at it. Remember, the Lord loves you.
Well, do you feel better right now? I mean, do you feel relieved that, you know, at first you feel like a little bit...
A little nervous at first, yeah.
But now I know I've given opportunity to people to find answers in God's Word, and that's exciting, you know?
That's awesome. Well, you did a great job.
And they seem to be very open to it.
Sure. Would you suggest the same for people watching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go out and do it. It's easy.
Katrina, it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm a good nose, though.
You are? Yeah, I'm a little nervous for you, too. I know you're going to do well, though.
Because I've never done this before. I always wanted to, but I'm nervous, but
I'm
going to do it.
Well, I'm praying for you, sister. I know you're going to do fun. Here we are. This is good. Hey, want to talk? You can talk to her.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. I would love to come. You to come to my church next week.
I don't go to your church. I don't
care. You don't go to church. You know, you can go online, too, if you want to.
I'm a Baptist.
Yeah. Okay. God bless you. So what you do is just keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
And someone else will take the card.
Yeah.
Since she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to church?
Sometimes.
Oh, great. That's good. So I would love to see you. I mean, come over to my church next week. And if you're not ready, you can always go onto this website, like truelife.org. And there are some free video answers.
Okay.
But there are a lot of questions we have sometimes. And there are a lot of videos explaining those questions. And you can always go and check those videos and have the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nice meeting you. Have a great day.
God bless. You too.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
Man, we had a great time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina surprised me. I mean, I knew she was going to do good, but she did really, really good.
Thank you.
You did.
Well, you know what happened? Initially, there was one lady who didn't want to take the card.
Yes.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to come to church. And I was really, you know.
didn't know what to say.
I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And he was with me, and we went on ahead, and we gave the cards to a lot of people. And surprisingly... It wasn't really hard, and
no.
They were really receptive, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yes, well, I'm so thankful that you just did my job. I don't have to explain nearly as much anymore to you back in the sanctuaries. We're not a different person than you. We are made in God's image just like you are, and every Christian has the opportunity to do this. And I can promise you from the bottom of my heart that there is nothing better than to share your faith with people. So I'm challenging you today. Share your faith, hand out these cards, and see what God can do in your life and in the lives of others.
And I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time. And what I want you to do, I want to challenge each of you. There's a there's a pack of these cards. They're wrapped in a rubber band. If you will just pick one of those packs out of the basket as it's passed by you, and then I want to challenge you to begin giving these cards out this week and try to see how many of these cards you can give out this week and begin sharing just naturally with people you run into, like in the grocery store, the gas station, or people you work with. But sharing this card and just simply sharing with them about your testimony or what God has done in your life. And I'm going to ask Brother Forrest. Forrest, if you would come up here and give us a really quick synopsis of what we're going to be doing over the next several months, buddy.
So let me just read a scripture real quick. And let me say this, that this is not the end-all be-all. But this is a tool. And one of the things that this does is helps us to get our eyes One of the things we're good at doing is looking at ourselves and looking at what we need, even when we come here. What this does is put a tool in our hand to help us get our eyes out onto other people and to recognize that there are people that we're encountering at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever we are. There are people that we're encountering that need Christ. And as we hand these out, this may lead to a conversation. It may be that somebody just takes it and they're like, you know what, I don't really have time to talk, but I'll take the card. It may be that we talk to somebody and we point out the website and we say, you know what, if you've got some questions about that, here's my number. We can talk later about it. But what this does is help begin getting our eyes outward. And this is just a beginning step. This is one of the several things that we're going to begin over a several-month process. We've talked about it as a staff. We've made several plans. I'm not going to bore you with all of that. But let me just read a scripture to you real quick. And this comes out of the book of Philemon, just 25 verses. But verse 6 says this. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Christ, you know, and I know that one of the things that he's been doing lately is opening our eyes to all the good things that we have in him and what he's wanting to do in his spirit and with his spirit and in us individually and as a congregation. And one of the pieces of that is sharing our faith so that we will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. The flip side of that is not sharing our faith hinders us from really knowing everything, the good thing, full understanding of everything that we have in Christ. And so this is just a tool. It points to our church, but it also, it gives them a resource. One of the reasons that we don't share our faith sometimes is, what if they ask me about this? Or what if they ask me about that? Or what if, you know, I may not know what to say. Well, you know what? You know what? I'm still growing in those areas, but I've looked at this website, and there's a website on here, and man, there's a lot of answers on there. I want to encourage you to look at that. I know we don't have a whole lot of time there, but can you look at this, and we'll talk about it later? Can I call you? You want to call me? Whatever. It points them to a resource, and it takes the fear out of what if, and it says, you know what? I'm going to at least begin being available and ready and useful to the Holy Spirit. You know, I got a card in my pocket. That's great, but I got the Spirit inside of me. I got the good news inside of me. And if this card helps me, as I have it in my pocket, to look at somebody and say, you know what, let me at least strike up a conversation. That this is a conversation starter. And maybe the Holy Spirit's going to say, man, he's just going to use us to reach somebody for Christ. And maybe he's going to say, here, brother. And maybe he's going to say, you know what, I asked God this morning if he was real to send somebody to talk to me. And then we don't even necessarily have to get into everything, and the Holy Spirit's already done the work. It's our job to be available. It's our job to do that together. And so this is a starting point. We're going to give you a lot of information months ahead, more resources, more tools. We're going to equip one another. But we can do this together as a family. And we all know our eyes are on so many different places and our hearts in so many different connections. But this tool, a tool, one of the tools, can help us to get our eyes outward. So I want to encourage you, as Pastor already has, hand out one of these. Maybe you're at McDonald's drive-thru and you got $5 extra or $10 extra in your pocket or on your card, and you say, you know what? Hey, I want to pay for the people behind me. Give them this card, if you will. Maybe you're in the grocery store and you just want to walk up and say, you know what? Whatever it is, just ask the Holy Spirit, show me somebody to give this to. Show me somebody to give this to. Run out of these. Come back and get more. We're going to have these throughout the life of the church. We're going to use these ongoing. And so I just want to encourage you, be a part of what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our life and with us as a church. And let's get the gospel out there. Amen? I pray that you, we, us, me, may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ.
Thank you, Farson. Now at this time, I'm going to ask Dave to come on up here, and we're going to have an invitation. And what I want, or Dennis, whoever, it's what happens when you spontaneously put a service together. But hadn't this been great? Haven't you enjoyed the types of worship leaders we've got in our church? Here's what I want you.